Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, the big challenge before Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the state. 56,000 new residents are forecast here in the next 20 years, and you have to decide how you're going to accommodate them. And they need to be accommodated in a better way than the last 56,000 were accommodated, because clearly you're hearing the voices this morning. You've been hearing them for years. The people are not satisfied with how that's been done, and you have an opportunity in opening up the LDC to chart a better course forward.
You know, that's a great point. This is Christian Wagley with Healthy Gulf. Is that the name of the organization that he is in charge of, or that he's represents now? Anyway, a good friend, and have him on the station all the time. Talking to Santa Rosa County Commission recently, talking about the land development code. And boy, that's such a great point that, you know, well, how did you do with the last 50,000 people who moved here? You know, like, so what's your plan for the next 50,000 people who move here? One of the things that came up, long conversation about the amount of buffer between wetlands and developments and what that margin should be. You know, should it be 25 feet? Should it be 50 feet? Should it be 100 feet? Should it be variable based on, like, you know, because water has this funny habit of not going in a straight line. And so should it be on the average, as a meandering average between all of the different parcels and the water? Or should it be a fixed minimum, like if any parcel is within 25 feet? Again, this is a conversation that was being had.
There's an opportunity to enhance some buffer zones around waterways. A lot of times it's only, I think, 25 feet now. 50 feet is more scientifically valid. Anytime there's development near the water, it creates issues. But the more space you can give between that development and the water, the more chance there is to absorb any pollutants. And that's, again, incredibly important as we look at things like trying to restore oysters in our waterways.
Yeah, I mean, the key things here you're talking about would be like fertilizer runoff and also just dirt runoff when they're in the construction phase, which is not supposed to happen, but it does. And so, you know, anytime you're building close to the water, then you're raising the possibility that you're going to pollute the water, you know, either now or ongoing in the future. And so the farther away from the water you have to build, the better it is for the water. But of course, developers, especially people who own the land right now, have a certain idea in mind for how they want to develop it. And if you tell them they got to go farther away from the water, then they make less money because they are able to develop less than they otherwise could, right? Also talking about clear cutting and trees, something that is an ongoing conversation, which the LDC is still in development. So this is all stuff you can weigh in on if you want to go to the county commission meetings.
Strong support for ending clear cutting. I think there can be flexibility for the development community, whether that's preserving some of the trees that are there and or it's adding trees back. You know, imagine really every street in every neighborhood in Santa Rosa County, there should be shade down that street. We need that shade. We need that beauty. And so trees can be planted back in addition to being saved. So I think there can be flexibility there for the development community.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting concession because, you know, what he's saying is it's not necessarily that you have to protect the trees that are there now, that you can't avoid cutting them out. But let's just make sure that, you know, we either preserve what we've got or provide for replanting. And, you know, especially if you're putting a subdivision in, can you replant in a way that's smart, that is likely to provide shade canopy, for example, long term over the street? You know, neighborhoods that have front yard trees are nicer and also better for, you know, water mitigation and better for shade and heat than neighborhoods that don't have that, right? So that's something that makes a lot of sense. And then also this question, we talked about this somewhat on Friday, but this issue of, you know, building up versus building out, density versus sprawl. You've got, like, for example, you know, the proposal for this big new, now it's not residences, I guess, but a hotel on top of the old post office down on Palafox. But still, you know, sometimes density really is the issue, but also thinking about amenities that are available to the people when you're putting them in close proximity to each other.
More compact form of development is a good thing. The more land we use, the worse the outcome for Santa Rosa County, the worse the outcome for our waterways, the more expensive it is to provide services to as we spread out in population. So we're seeing some more density. That is a good thing, actually, from a water quality standpoint, from using less land standpoint. But with more compact development, there has to be the amenities, right? Kids in growing up in that neighborhood that have no park space to go to, that's an absolute tragedy. And parents having to get the kids in a car and to drive them to anything. And I think with more density and with more compact forms of development, you've got to make the developers provide those amenities. There should be a park space there where kids can go and families can go and throw the ball and walk the dog and do these things. But we're seeing neighborhoods where there's nothing. I mean, there is nothing for kids. There's nothing for families. And that's totally unacceptable, especially when the development community is asking for, again, for more density, which can be good, but it's all about the way it's shaped, the patterns of that, and the way it's designed. And you've got to hold them to accountable for more with that.
Yeah, and thinking, you know, comprehensively about these issues as opposed to just density without those amenities, without the opportunity of green spaces is not necessarily the ideal. Of course, every time I hear somebody talk about how important density is.
Yes, yes, I'm George. George McFly. I'm your density.
716 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, Back to the Future. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
You are my density. It's so funny. So we take a look around. Good news is it's starting to, we had an accident. It was very slow, Blue Angel and Mobile Highway. And it looks like that has cleared up. It looked like it was roadblock southbound at Blue Angel and Mobile Highway for Blue Angel, or Mobile Highway rather. But anyway, that's clear. Still construction in Beulah, though, on Mobile Highway. This is south of the Equestrian Center, eastbound and westbound. So again, just south of the Equestrian Center in Beulah, they're doing some paving. And that's what that slowdown is. It does go down to one lane, but it is moving just real, real slow. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, all in real time.
All in real time.
It is.
That's
I'm trying to check, so be careful.
You know, if you're thinking about buying or selling, you know, I recommend Christina Leavenworth. She is just a great resource. And, you know, I was listening to her talk on Pep Talk with Tammy Martin the other day, and, you know, she said some things that kind of stuck out to me. One was, people sometimes feel like, oh, I don't want to call Christina. I'm going to waste her time. I'm not sure if I want to sell my house, or I'm not sure if I'm ready to buy yet because we're renting. And she says, I'm kind of translating, I'm not quoting exactly, but it was basically, no, don't worry about that. I love to meet people. I love to talk about real estate. It's exciting for me. I love to kind of explain what's going on to people and help them be informed, even if they never become a client. Because, you know, maybe you don't become a client. Maybe we don't become one now. Maybe you become one in a year. Maybe you know somebody. You talk to them and say, hey, she's really knowledgeable, and they become it. But the point is, she loves talking to people, okay? Also, she's a super nerd. And I mean that as a compliment. Like, she loves thinking about real estate. Like, she's fanatical about it. And she said to Tammy, she said, but don't you want that in somebody who you hire for professional services? Don't you want somebody who is, like, a total geek about their subject matter? Because that means that they're always looking to learn more and have more knowledge and understand things better. And that's her. Totally. That's her. That's exactly. That's the kind of person that you want. Not the kind of person that says, man, I'm so good, but the kind of person that's like, yeah, but what can I do better? Which is always her mindset. 850-723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
NAS Whiting Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Whiting Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in today at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Whiting Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's Reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever feel powerless? Powerless to change your circumstances? So did the man at the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. This man had an infirmity that rendered him powerless for 38 years. Do you know what changed everything for this man? It was the day he met Jesus. The powerless man met the powerful Son of God. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately this man picked up his bed and walked for the first time in 38 years. I don't know what it is that's making you feel powerless, whether it's financial, physical, or relational, but I do know that the all-powerful God can meet your need if you'll put your faith in Him.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Your baby is brilliant. Why, she could already teach at Florida State.
Yeah!
Hooray!
Go Seminoles!
I'm just saying, sometimes you watch an old Simpsons episode and you find a gem. You just find a gem. Go Seminoles! 7:21 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I know. It's so funny. Oh, man. Yeah. What more need I say about that? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Israel's parliament is meeting today for a vote on the overhaul of the judicial system pushed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. NBC's Ref Sanchez says that vast crowds are marching to Jerusalem in an effort to stop the plan.
These protesters have gathered in their thousands in front of the Supreme Court, the institution they vowed to protect. But Netanyahu says he has the votes and he's determined to push ahead.
And some of the people opposed to the plan say that thousands of reservist troops there may not show up for military duty if it moves forward. The UN in talks with North Korea for the return of the American soldier that crossed the border. Travis King fled across the border last week. The UN commands Lieutenant General Andrew Harrison says that the well-being of Private King is the UN's primary concern right now. And President Biden is going to be designating a new national monument to honor Emmett Till and his mother. Till was kidnapped, beaten, and murdered in Mississippi in 1955. Biden will be signing a proclamation tomorrow on what would have been Emmett Till's 82nd birthday to establish the Emmett Till and Mamie Till Mobley National Monument. It'll be at three sites, two locations in Mississippi, one in Chicago.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3. We had kind of an interesting version of this. It's not the same, okay? But it reminded me of something I saw during the city council meeting in Milton last week. Is you probably not heard this woman's name, but Martha Adams, and they were explaining why they're putting a plaque up for Martha Adams.
Martha Morton Adams was born August 9th, 1944 in Santa Rosa County and graduated from T.R. Jackson High School, class of 1963. Mrs. Adams, the first African-American employee for the city of Milton, Florida, 1973 through 1982, holds a significant place in the city's history. League committee has voted to move a recommendation forward to council for installation of a plaque monument on the South Riverwalk Pavilion that is dedicated to Mrs. Adams.
And I think I did not catch his first name, nor for sure the relation. I think this is her son, her husband. I'm sorry, I don't know which, but was there also at the meeting to talk about how much he appreciated that this was being done.
First of all, I want to thank the LEAF committee for working with me, and it's been a 2-year struggle, and they've been right there with me. And I talked to numerous people about this, and a lot of people think I'm doing the right thing. And I noticed Florida, Milton became a city in 1844. State of Florida, and 1973, that was 129 years later, Martha became the first African-American to work for the city of Milton. And showing her appreciation, I would appreciate if you do it, and God bless you.
That's great. It's, you know, I know we talk about all the things that are, you know, crazy and stupid about Milton, but, you know, they do some good stuff too. I mean, they really do. And, you know, a lot of that is, it's very good. A lot of the historical markers that they've been erecting lately are very important. And I think this one is as well. 725 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I was chewing ice as we take a look at our roads.
What that means.
That's not what that means.
Highway
98 Green stop. Highway 98 and Greenbrier Parkway and Gulf Free is showing an accident, but not showing a roadblock this morning. It looks like it's just fine there. We are watching a slow area in Beulah, and it is construction. They're doing paving. This is south the Equestrian Center, so a little slow eastbound and westbound in that area because it goes down to one lane. Traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So the vice president came to town over the weekend. She came to town to, you know, explain to us the nature of things in the world.
So when I think about what is happening then here in Florida, I am deeply concerned. Because let's be clear, I do believe this is not only about the state of Florida. There is a national agenda afoot.
I do not know if there's a national agenda afoot, but I do know. Sorry, I can't resist. So she comes to explain how Florida's doing all these horrible things. And in that context, they've, you know, adopted the new standards for the teaching of history. And she says it's outrageous.
And now, on top of all of that, they want to replace history with lies. Middle school students in Florida to be told that enslaved people benefited from slavery. High schoolers may be taught that victims of violence, of massacres, were also perpetrators. I said it yesterday. They insult us in an attempt to gaslight us, and we will not have it. And we will not have it.
What she's talking about is the 216-page document on the social studies standards that recently was approved by the Board of Education. And on page 6, at the bottom of the page, it says, examine the various duties and trades performed by slaves. For example, agricultural work, painting, carpentry, tailoring, domestic service, blacksmithing, and transportation. And then it says, benchmark clarifications, clarification 1. Instruction includes how slaves develop skills, which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit. So they had to learn trades in order to be of service to their masters in this horrible institution called slavery. And sometimes that allowed them to do things in their private lives, which were of personal benefit. And so that's the one that's got everybody worked up. How dare you? Well, they came out with a list of people that this applies to. And there's been some discussion about whether they are all good examples of it. People who were famous for things that they did, either while or after they were slaves, and as a result of the things that they learned during slavery. So she's very, very excited about this minor little element. And the reason I point this out is because I remember how we got here. I remember that last year the governor said that Florida wouldn't be adopting the AP African American Studies course because it was teaching, you know, race-based ideology and making people feel evil because they happen to be white. And he said there were certain things in there that we're not going to teach. And the criticism was, ha ha, you hate black people and you don't want to teach things about black history, to which he and all the rest of us said, no, it's in the law. It requires us to teach these things. And then, you know, the NAACP came out with a, you know, don't travel there. They hate black people and they don't teach black history. And we said, no, it's required by law. So here in the 216-page document, the first 19 pages of which are all the standards for black African-American, and slavery and racism history, including in this very section when it talks about all of the different people that it wants you to understand. Examine the roles and contributions of significant African-Americans during westward expansion. Benjamin Papp Singleton, James Beckwith, Buffalo Soldiers, York. Examine the experiences and contributions of African-American families in early Florida. It goes on to talk about examine the service and sacrifice of African patriots during the Revolutionary Era, Crispus Attucks, Peter Salem, James Armistead Lafayette, 1st Rhode Island Regiment. Explain the development of the cotton gin, examine the Underground Railroad and its importance to those seeking freedom, identify political figures who strove to abolish the institutions of slavery, and it even has a mention in here, this might surprise you, but it even has a mention in here for the African-American community leaders who made positive contributions in the state of Florida: Zora Neale Hurston, Florida Highwomen, Mary McLeod Bethune, Evan Ford, Bessie Coleman, General Daniel Chappie James, Bob Hayes, Sylvia Fowles. There's more in this of learning of African-American history than I ever got in school. So I guess they're now admitting that Florida teaches these things, with the one thing they're criticizing out of the list of 19 pages?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Hunter Biden's former business partner will testify before the House that then-VP Joe Biden spoke on the phone with business associates at least 24 times. That's according to the New York Post. New York Congresswoman Claudia Tenney.
Joe Biden and his family are committing crimes, and he's covering it up. We've never had this happen in American history, where the DOJ and the FBI is so dirty, and Merrick Garland is such a dirty cop, that they're actually protecting crime.
The Republican Last Hour, mornings with Marie on Fox Business. Protests across Israel ahead of a big vote related to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's attempt to overhaul the judicial system. He's now at Parliament just hours after being discharged from a hospital after an emergency heart procedure. Forest fires in Algeria kill 15, that from their interior ministry. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731. News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 79 degrees, warming up quick here in Pensacola this morning. Several vehicles were damaged over the weekend after a driver experienced a medical issue at HCA Florida West Hospital in the parking lot. FHP says the driver crashed into multiple vehicles, ended up being admitted into the hospital for further evaluation. Luckily, no injuries reported. A man in the hospital after being attacked with a machete last night in downtown Pensacola. PPD says it happened at the Old Hickory Whiskey Bar on Palafox. PPD says last night, just before 9 o'clock, a suspect walked into the bar and hit a victim in the head with a machete. When officers arrived, they say they found the suspect still with that machete on Palafox. The man was taken into custody after being tased by officers. So far, the suspect has not been identified. Pensacola man arrested over the weekend. Deputies say he shot his roommate during an argument over bills. 34-year-old Desmond Keon Vinson charged with aggravated battery. This happened at a home on DeLuna Drive near Jackson Street. Deputies say the victim was shot twice, once in the back, once in the abdomen. Their condition currently unknown. Vinson booked into the Escambia County Jail and released on $25,000 bond. You might remember hearing about that pedestrian accident on Highway 29 earlier this month. Two women were hit by separate vehicles in that crash while they were crossing the road. Well, one of those women died soon after the crash. We're now seeing reports that the second woman involved has also passed away. North Escambia reports that 34-year-old Jessica Mathis died over the last week here at Sacred Heart Hospital. The two women were crossing Highway 29 and Century on July 6th. A pickup truck hit Mathis. 53-year-old Jessica Ackerman attempted to help Mathis when she was hit by another passing vehicle. One person has died after a rollover crash on Quintet Road in Santa Rosa County. Happened on Friday near the Santa Rosa Shooting Center. North Escambia reports that the driver lost control of the vehicle and it rolled over into the woods. The driver reportedly pronounced dead at the scene of that crash. Governor Ron DeSantis's campaign officials are trying to keep their donors from getting discouraged with low campaign polling numbers. Campaign manager Jenera Peck was with about 70 of their donors yesterday in Utah, and Politico reporting that she told the donors their campaign is going to be getting leaner and taking a different approach. She also reportedly said that they would be more careful how their money is spent. One of Florida's top Democrats wants the state's education commissioner to resign. Tampa State Representative and House Democratic Caucus Leader Fentrese Driscoll on Saturday called for the resignation of Education Commissioner Manny Diaz. Driscoll upset over the state's new social studies curriculum. And police may be closer to identifying human remains that were found in Palm Beach. Delray police over the weekend released a partial description of a woman whose remains were found Friday in suitcases in water along the intracoastal waterway there. Investigators say the woman was about 5'4", white or Hispanic, middle-aged, and had brown hair and tattooed eyebrows as well. A man attending a rock festival in northern Alabama over the weekend was badly beaten by a group of men during a concert and reportedly had to be taken to the hospital. This happened at the Rock the South Festival in Coleman on Saturday, and singer Cody Johnson was performing on stage. A group of men began assaulting the victim. Videos emerged on social media of that incident. Police there say they're offering a $10,000 reward for information. 735 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic.
This is brought to you by Executive Landscaping, and we are launching a construction in Beulah. This is south of the Equestrian Center on Mobile Highway. It's blocked. It's not blocked. It's just down to one lane, eastbound and westbound. They're paving, so they're letting you go little by little. So it is slow, but you will get through there. This is brought to you, like I said, by Executive Landscaping, and big enough to get the job done and certainly small enough to care. 250-3756 for that no-hassle estimate. Meanwhile, if you have traffic tips, you can text them in at 437-1620. It's News Radio 9. 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This week, the weather is really looking pretty typical for this time of the year. We'll have the normal heat that we would expect, with highs generally in the low 90s. Plenty of sunshine to heat things up, but every day there is a chance a shower or a thunderstorm will pop up. Rain chances aren't super high, though. We're really only running around a 20% chance for rain every day this week, so just look out for a pop-up thunderstorm. Lows will be in the 70s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News weather forecast.
79 right now in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. About 20% of S&P 500 companies will report their latest earnings data this week. And the first batch out of the oven is from Domino's, and it's lukewarm. The pizza chain posted strong earnings totals, but weaker than expected revenue. It's a surprise, as Wall Street had been growing bullish on Domino's in recent weeks. It was fueled in part by plans to list the chain's menus on the Uber Eats and Postmates food delivery apps. A historic beer maker in San Francisco may not be done quite yet. Anchor Brewing Company says it would be open to a last-minute bid by a group of union workers to buy the nation's first craft brewery, founded in 1896. The reversal comes a week after Anchor announced plans to liquidate amid the prolonged pandemic impact on San Francisco. Interest rates are set to rise again this week. Economists widely expect the Federal Reserve to hike rates by another 0.25% at its meeting on Wednesday. That's Your Money Now.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, country music duo Wester takes the stage.
Let me see that board, I'll take you for a ride.
Wester is comprised of Pensacola's own Pearl Clarkin and Rafe Wester, and they pack a fun, fresh, and explosive punch. It's Bands on the Beach with Wester this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm just so tired of all the negativity in these towns and the people. How in the world can we ever think that we're going to get anything accomplished by everybody being at each other's throats about the tiniest stupid things? What difference does it make if you're wearing a hat and the other people are wearing hats, what difference does it make?
It's almost Hillary-esque at this point. What difference does it make? So this is during the Milton City Council meeting on Thursday, and you know, we talked quite a bit about what actually happened, and I still maintain that my explanation is that people were basically confused over whose role was what in the negotiation, and that explains everything. That and that nobody trusts anybody and everybody thinks that it's all war with each other. And Scott Collins described it to me when I talked to him for an hour on Thursday. You know, it's these different anthills fighting with each other and, you know, they're just all over the place. I think that's the answer. But you definitely have problems. And, you know, when the when you get a former city council member who was on the city council for 21 years, Grady Hester, comes in and says,
"But folks, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. It's of my own personal opinion that if there was investigations done, there'd be a lot of people that would be found that they're not under the sunshine law. That they would be discussing issues. That they would be discussing issues that they shouldn't be discussing."
Yeah, I don't know that that's the case, but it's, you know, it's certainly a possibility, and I don't have any basis for that, but, you know, if he thinks it looks that way to him, he's not the first person to say it. So the basic problem here is that everybody doesn't trust everybody else, and you've got all these warring factions, and everybody's trying to defend themselves, and nobody's willing to just kind of make the call or take the call. I mean, my goodness, Heather Lindsay told us that she had a city council member had told her not to ever email him. And you had several people, you know, telling me that, like, I couldn't get this call to get taken or that person wouldn't call me back. Like, just, my goodness. You know, I recently watched Mean Girls, you know. It kind of.
You did?
You know, that song, you know, High School Never Ends by Bowling for Soup. You know, like, that's kind of how all this feels. So in the context of, well, we've just lost our city manager candidate. We've had a horrible, terrible setback. Everything is, like, set up for disaster now because, you know, Randy's leaving. Although, you know, the current police chief, Tony Tindall, is likely to step in for him as the interim that could become permanent. I'm just saying. So Romy White from South Santa Rosa News, she's been involved in all in the reporting on this as well. She's a friend. And the comment she had made earlier in this conversation was about somebody wearing a hat inside as an evidence of loss of decorum. You know, that people should not wear hats inside. And also, we were having, like, you know, you have to understand Casey Powell, who's kind of like the, I don't know, one of the voices of reason and sanity on the council. You know, the one who's like, doesn't get caught up in all the drama. He rarely says anything intemperate. Just kind of, you know, there is a voice of reason. I just kind of want you to understand the backdrop to some of who these players are going to be. And then Heather Lindsay, who is the mayor, who seems to always be in the center of the drama, even though she purports to try to be fixing it. She's also creator of it quite a bit in her efforts to try to fix it. Okay, so Romy is talking at the podium and talking about all the drama and what needs to be fixed. And, you know, you have people like Jerry Cooey, who's a member of the Pitchfork Posse, but he's a candidate for, you know, District 3 in Santa Rosa County. He's a friend, but he's also, you know, he's kind of loud at all the meetings kind of thing. So here we go.
So
this is, I'm giving you background because this is a long clip, and I'm just going to let you hear. Did they learn the lesson about not getting engaged in drama?
So I would like to see more decorum, please. And I would like for you to keep, like right now, you know, I've got a lady back here who's saying, shut up, shut up. The rude, the disruptive.
I couldn't hear it. I'm sorry, ma'am. I couldn't hear what she was saying.
Okay. But I want to thank Randy Jorgensen for your years of service. You've had these people shooting arrows at your back for years, and you've done a remarkable job standing up to it. I also want to commend Alex Andrade for tolerating the immature behavior that we're seeing from some folks. Thank
ma'am,
you.
Ma'am, if you could just tell me, you said mentioned his hat. What did you mean by that?
Wearing a hat inside of a meeting, I mean, that's something that we would not have seen many years ago, much less threatening to ramp your fist in somebody's.
Excuse me, I'd like to just respond to a couple of things you said. One is Commissioner Calkins wears a hat in here too. We've never prohibited that.
Heather, this is my time to talk. I'm not trying to engage you in an argument. And if you want to talk about Calkins, you should do it when he's here to defend himself, not when his challenger for his seated Jerry Cooey is in here. Oh, you know? I'm sorry. What we're seeing is we're seeing people
Yeah, hello, Pam, because I'm talking to you. You're seeing people who are surrogates for him disrupting, making accusations, and it really needs to stop. If you really want to move forward and be together, I don't think they want to move forward and be together.
I hear
Thank you,
ma'am.
And you can say whatever you want.
I didn't mean to provoke you, ma'am, but I would like the public to know the council and staff never directed anyone not to contact the candidates or anyone. We never expressed to the public any rules of engagement on this.
And I think because that goes back to the common sense comment.
Councilman Jarrett, I appreciate what you're saying, but if you don't mind, I'd like for you to let me speak.
Go right ahead.
I appreciate it, sir.
That's Matt Jarrett, who I have given quite a hard time to about not being in attendance at a lot of the meetings because he had a job that took him on the road. He's now back. He's got a local job, you know, same job, but just a different role now. And I actually think he's been one of the voices of reason, too. And I appreciate that he's pushing back against some of the things that she is saying. And he's kind of been, he was interruptive during the meeting, but interruptive for the right things to be said. Okay, so back to more of the drama, Mayor Heather Lindsay.
I realize Ms. White was really passionate about her point of view just now, and I did not mean to provoke you, ma'am, but it's not helpful for any of us to be provoking one another by labeling one another with negative terms. So I would ask that members of council, members of the public, please be mindful when they're speaking. Let's try to come at each other from a position of having given each other the benefit of the doubt instead of making judgments without having all the facts.
Yes,
yes, sir.
This is Casey Powell.
So it's funny that when it's something you don't agree with, you don't have a problem censoring it. And I, for one, am tired of it, so I'm leaving.
What am I censoring?
He got up and left.
I don't believe I censored Ms. White.
And
Mr. Andrade, if I censored Ms. White, I will be accountable for that. But that's not what I understood. Okay, ma'am, would you like to be recognized?
Yes, I'm Cindy Boo.
Hey, are you really gonna let the public talk to him on the way out like that?
Do we want to just, why don't we just take a recess to see if Mr. Powell.
No, I got, back? I just, this is short and sweet.
Okay.
It really is.
Well, lessons learned. Oh, man. What is the way forward for this place? You know, but it's the way the meetings are run. It's the nature of the comments made by members of the public and by members of council. It's all nuclear drama all the time. And the sad thing is, and I said this on Friday, but the sad thing is, I think Scott Collins would have probably fixed a lot of this if they were willing to let him do it. But that option is out now. I don't know whether Tony Tindall, I mean, he could fix it. I don't know if they've got the heart to let him or if he's got the heart to do it. As he said very clearly in the meeting, you know, I kind of like watching these meetings from the hall, which I understand. 7:48 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for you.
And taking a look, we got a call. This is an accident on Wild Lake Boulevard, which is where near the Hardee's, the Cracker Barrel is. And it is heading, it looks like, eastbound. And it's not right at the gas station, right at where the Sunny's drive-off is, but rather right in the middle of Wild Lake Boulevard, right before it hits 8 Mile and, of course, on the interstate as well. So in the middle, watch out for that slowdown after an accident. We're also seeing construction in Beulah on Mobile Highway. This is south of the Equestrian Center, both eastbound and westbound, real, real slow. It's moving just very slow, of course, because they're paving. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go, where to look, where to start the process, Frontier Motors, like a great place to get started on that process. And one of the things that I always appreciate about them is it's not that, you know, I mean, selection's good, okay? It's the prices are good. The quality of the cars is good. The service, you know, is good. It was after. Like, in our experience, we went to test drive a car, and a day later, we wound up buying that car because it was such a good deal. The unexpected part was that I got follow-up from them 6 months later. Calvin, our sales guy, calls me, and he says, is anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, no, nothing's wrong with the car. Why are you calling me? You know, like, it was weird. And from a used car place, 6 months later. A year after we bought the car, he followed up again. He said, hey, is there anything wrong with the car? And I still kind of had that, why are you bothering me? But then I said, Well, okay, yeah, the physical key. We had two fobs, you know, that each have a, like a physical key that you can take out, and one of them just didn't open the door. And he said, "We'll bring it in. We'll replace it." And my thought was, yeah, I didn't say it out loud, but I was kind of like, "Well, yeah, I bet you will for $150." And I said, "Well, how much is that?" And he said, "Well, it's nothing. You expected a key, you get a key." I brought it in. About 10 minutes later, they had the key, and that was it. We were done. A year after we bought the car, on a problem he called to find out if we had. See, they don't want to just sell you a car and then hope to never see you again. They want to sell you all the cars for the rest of your life by taking care of you, right? That kind of service level that is just, I mean, it's unprecedented. So Frontier Motors, they've been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me this Wednesday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions this Wednesday at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM. 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Irregardless, ex-boyfriends are just off limits to friends. I mean, that's just like the rules of feminism.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The United Nations in talks with North Korea for the return of an American soldier. Travis King fled across the heavily militarized border into North Korea last week. The UN's command lieutenant general, Andrew Harrison, says that the well-being of Private King is their primary concern. And the UN's confirmation that dialogue and discussions were ongoing comes as North Korea has remained publicly silent about the incident. UPS and the Teamsters Union returning to the bargaining table this week. Contract negotiations will be resuming tomorrow, aimed at averting a strike by 340,000 UPS workers. Their current deal expires at the end of this month. And the Mega Millions jackpot now closing in on $1 billion after nobody won last Friday. Making tomorrow's drawing worth at least $820 million.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 753, News Radio 92.3. Kind of an interesting bit of, I would call, good news. You know, that's my opinion about it. Out of California, when it comes to education, the you have one school district, anyway, that is now going to require, and I know for some of you, you think, well, how can this be controversial? Okay, the Chino Valley Unified School District is approving a policy that requires teachers to tell parents if the child wants to begin using names and pronouns that don't match those on their birth certificate, as well as if the child requests access to school facilities which don't correspond to their biological sex. They approved the policy after several hours of arguing about it on Thursday, during which California State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tony Thurmond, was escorted out of the room because he was angry that how dare they tell parents that this is going on with their kids. Now, it's worth understanding what the argument here is really about. On the one hand, you have people like me and like the Chino Valley School District who would say that schools are a representative, a delegate, an ambassador, a surrogate for the parents. And their job in life is to serve the parents. Okay, because they're like, you know, a more complicated version of a babysitter. All right, they're not a babysitter, but they're a much more, you know, professional version of a babysitter. And so you want them to represent you to those kids. And at the very least, you don't want them undermining you to those kids. That's the parental rights argument. And so if kids are wanting to, you know, pretend or claim or identify as whatever these things, then teachers ought to be telling parents this to keep them informed and not hiding it from them or using different pronouns and all this kind of stuff without their knowledge. The other side of the argument is, okay, the argument that would be made by the state of California in this case or by the guy who got ejected from the meeting is, you know, some kids are in an abusive environment, and if they don't feel like they can, or repressive or whatever, if they don't feel like they can tell their parents because it'll make them unsafe, like they don't think their parents would be supportive, then you're putting them at risk. You're jeopardizing them. You're creating danger for them by telling parents what they're doing. And by extension, if you are required to tell parents, then kids won't tell you. Kids will keep these secrets. These secrets are the things that make them feel, you know, pain, depression, anxiety, can lead them to suicide, all of that kind of stuff. So those are the two questions. And you really cannot have it both ways, right? It's going to have to be a pick one or the other. So my pick is, I understand those concerns, but unless you have good evidence, as in take the kid away from the parents kind of evidence, that they are so abusive and dangerous that kids can't be safe in an environment where they're told the truth about their own children, then you have to tell the truth about the children. You shouldn't be keeping secrets from the parents. That's my view. Not everybody's. But, it's, you know, it's sometimes important to kind of hear both sides laid out, right? 756 on News Radio 92.3, and it's amazing that somebody would get thrown out over trying to force them to have a policy that would have the parents kept out of the information loop, which is, in fact, the policy of the state of California. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And watching us, a couple of accidents, one at Wild Lake Boulevard, and now there's another one right at Mobile Highway, or Pine Forest Road, I'm sorry, Wild Lake Boulevard and Pine Forest Road. Certainly use caution there, and caution, as you know, wherever you are. And still slow in Beulah due to construction on Mobile Highway. This is south of the Equestrian Center, both eastbound and westbound. They're doing some paving, so it's down to one lane. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you've got a plumbing issue, leak, drip, weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet, the pressure, the temperature, you know, plumbing stuff is not the way it should be. These things don't fix themselves. If it seems like it has, it's getting ready to get worse. That's typically how that works. Flat rate pricing at Barbary Plumbing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782. I had a couple of jokes that got sent in to me, and it feels like it's on a Monday and it's time for some good jokes. These are from my stepdad, actually, was sending these to me. And you have to understand, in my family, we're all math nerds, especially my stepdad. So he sent me this morning. He said, okay, if 666 is evil, then 25.80695801127888 is the root of all evil. Come on. That's right. And he said, here's one more. He says, to whoever invented zero, thanks for nothing. Sorry. I couldn't. And then, okay, you ready? This one's, I don't know. They're getting progressively something. He says, one of our dogs accidentally swallowed a bunch of Scrabble tiles. And we took him to the vet. No word yet. I'm not getting your screech out of you, Candy, but you're chuckling a little bit.
They're great. No, those are great.
And this one I found on Facebook this morning. It was a picture of a golf ball that somebody had stenciled on, you know, printed on the, like, you know, you sometimes put your name or a corporate logo or whatever. Sure. This one says, if found, give to your mom. I'll get it tonight. Oh,
that's great.
Okay. All right. There you go. The other ones were super clean. That one's, well, I don't know, the one about the word is not as clean as all of them could be. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. Sheriff Bob Johnson joins us in just a minute. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about with him. Also be listening, because later on in this show we'll be giving away tickets for Casey and the Sunshine Band at the Sanger Theater coming up on August 27th. So that is going on. Also, Bands on the Beach tomorrow night, so that's always a good time. We've got Wester taking the stage at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion.